Jim Carrey ass. Mars co-op. You know what I'm saying? Mars co-op. Yeah. What the fuck? To the clones. Bless the domes. Logan Val. You know my style. Mars co-op. All the way. First of all, let's talk about these ill capers and fly ass frontin' bitches that now caught vapors. Niggas run up on you with guns, snatch your papers. Outline body chart is how they would scrape ya from off the pavement. I hate getting locked up cause that upstate bus reminds me of the slave ships. But then the Bible never saved shit. I guess that's why every juvenile is in the same predicament. You wanna slay crack, old text, and do the concept. You can't make loot when your moms are smoking up the product. I try to tell ya, don't let these streets fucking fail ya. The way niggas be getting clapped, the shit'll fucking scare ya. But in the dark, we
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. And I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite, broadcasting live out here in Flawscandalous, California. Glad to have everybody tuning in to the show. Today's show is brought to you by InternetPimpin.net. That's where you can get the new book, Internet Pimpin' for Women. And you can get the book, Internet Pimpin' for Men as well. But go to InternetPimpin.net to get your game on and get your game strong. And don't forget to go to MacLessons.com and MacLessonsRadio.com to get tickets to see me live in New York City at the Florence Gould Theater on July 10th. It's going to be off the hook, everybody. Get your discount tickets now. Tickets at the door are $50, but if you get online now, the tickets are only $29. So go to MacLessonsRadio.com and MacLessons.com to get tickets to see me live in New York City. It's called The Return of the Mac. I'm back by popular demand, chopping up some real good game. I'm going to get into some real deep stuff in New York, so you guys don't want to miss it. And we're going to be filming that for some television stuff that I'm doing, and it's going to be on the DVD because I have a DVD coming out of my whole lecture tour. And I got some other cities coming up. I might be coming to Oakland the end of June or the middle of July. So what's up, Bay Area? I might be coming to the Bay Area. And Atlanta, I didn't forget about you, Atlanta. A lot of people in Atlanta were a little upset that I postponed Atlanta because I was supposed to do Atlanta on the 26th. When I come to Atlanta, it will probably be in the middle of July, and Alexis K. Tyler is going to chop up game with me. She's already down. I love Alexis K. Tyler, and she's going to chop up some hot fire with me. It's going to be off the hook. But you guys do not want to miss me in New York, though. If you're anywhere on the East Coast, come on up to New York on July 10th. The game is going to be heavy. The Florence Gould Theater is real fly, and we're going to have a ball up there in New York. Now, in today's show, you know what I want to talk about, people? I want to talk about the image of mammy. I want to talk about the old stereotypical image that's been in America for a long time of the black woman as mammy. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because in our country right now, we're becoming really racially polarized more than ever because we have a black president in the White House. So now these racial lines are really being drawn distinctively, and we really have to be cognizant of the things that's going around in pop culture. And I'm going to get real deep into that at the seminar in New York, so you guys don't want to miss that. Let me put on some Mackin music so I can really let y'all know where a player like me is coming from. All right. So like I said, I want to talk about this mammy image that we have of sisters, that the media has been portraying of sisters. And I'm going to do probably another show or another pay-per-view special talking about how they're really, really going in on sisters as far as the backlash and the negative connotations. And I don't like it. Even though a lot of sisters sat back and not even sat back, helped participate in the negative backlash against black men, it's being reversed on black women right now. From the status quo, and they're going hard on the sisters, and I don't like it. I'm not on that tit for tat shit. I don't like it, because if they do it to them, they're really going to do it to us. So I want people to be able to counter this stuff, to know what the game is, and not let it internalize, because that's one of the problems. All the images that we see, people of color and other people, the images that we see of ourselves on TV and in movies and in print, these are images that a small group of people design. and you eventually start internalizing these negative images they have of you. But the most prevalent image of African American women now is the mammy image. And that's been going on for a long time. See, after slavery, even a little bit before slavery was over, they began to desexualize the image of black women. They made black women this caricature of undesirability, the non-threatening, motherly, maternalistic pet almost. But the main theme was that she was asexual, no sexual energy coming from her, no sexual desire for her. And this was really prevalent after slavery. Because during slavery, the black woman was primarily a sexual being. They used black women to mate with male studs, to have children for the plantation, and they used black women as concubines. Black woman was a purely sexual being during slavery. That's why we had so many mulatto people. Mulatto people came about not because black men were laying up with white women. That was clearly out of the picture back then. It was white men laying up with all these black women. So at that point during slavery, there was no need to really go hard into demonizing the image because the people were already under control. Black people were under control during slavery. So when slavery is over, black people are no longer under control. You have to be able to control the perception of them. You feel me? So that's why the mammy image became very, very prevalent directly after slavery. And again, the whole vibe was about being non-threatening. Just like with black men, certain black men are perceived as being non-threatening. Usually older black men who were past their sexual prime, dim-witted black men, or gay black men. That's why on television, most of the brothers you see on television now are moist. Or in corporate America, you see a lot of cast in corporate America with a little moist vibe to them. Not all. In movies, the black man that's accepted, like the Morgan Freeman, the old black man who has no sexual desire. Or the retarded black man like Radio. Y'all remember that movie Radio with Cuba Gooding Jr.? And the movie The Blind Side. And I've talked about Blind Side a million times on the show, but there was a scene in that movie that really stuck out to me when the character of Big Mike, for those who've seen the movie, he was already acting retarded in the movie. He was the pet nigga. And one scene in the movie, a lot of y'all might have missed this, but I caught that because I know where they're coming from. I know their intent. Once you know their intent, you catch all the little bullshit that they throw on the screen. But there was one scene that was very particular. Throughout the movie, they was concerned about Big Mike living in Sandra Bullock's home, her character's home, around their teenage daughter. They kept implying that he might do something sexual to the daughter. That was a theme. That was a little thing that they kept talking about in the movie on a low. And they mentioned that they took Big Mike. Somebody took him to a strip joint and he had nightmares. He was just so freaked out by the girls at the strip club. So they made him completely asexual. So you have to peep that. You got to peep why they put that in there. I caught that. They have to make him damn near a eunuch, somebody who has no sexual desire, then he's acceptable. Because black male sexuality is mad threatening. And female sexuality is somewhat threatening to a certain degree, unless she's portrayed as a Jezebel or a slut, like they did Halle Berry in the movie Monsters Ball. And they don't mind portraying certain sisters as sluts and whores and all that because she's an outcast. Sluts and whores are generally outcasts. So you don't have to accept them. You just look at them as being a train wreck. But as far as black people, that's acceptable. You have to, in their minds, follow certain parameters. Are you guys following me? I don't want to go over your head with it now. But back to the mammy thing. The whole mammy image at the turn of the 20th century was one of the most prominent images in commercial America. Like, most food products back then had images of the mammy. Most household products back at that time had images of mammy, the overweight, non-threatening, asexual black female. And then when they started to invent movies, because before then, in stage plays, you know, they had the minstrel shows and they would have white dudes dress up as overweight black women and paint their faces and do all the whole shit. Eventually, they got black female actresses to play these mammy roles, these caricatures that they created. As a matter of fact, the first black woman to win an Oscar played a mammy. That's Hattie McDaniel. So like I said, the mammy image was very commercialized. That was an image that white people, especially white women, felt comfortable with. They felt comfortable looking at the asexual, non-threatening black female. Even the cartoons, if you are old enough to remember, y'all remember those Tom and Jerry cartoons? And they would show these up until the 80s. After the 80s, they stopped showing them. I remember the reruns because when I was in school as a kid in Alabama, at around 3 o'clock after school, you can go see, you go home and you can see the cartoons for about an hour. They would show the Bugs Bunny cartoons or the Looney Tunes cartoons and the Tom and Jerry cartoons. This was before Cartoon Central and the Cartoon Network. Cartoons came on Saturday and they came on a couple of hours after school and that was it. So we made a point to rush home and watch the cartoons after school. And I remember in the 80s, they would have the Tom and Jerry cartoons and they would always have this big fat black mammy on there. And these cartoons were old. They would rerun these cartoons from the 1930s and 40s and 50s. And the owner of Tom and Jerry was this big fat black mammy with the stereotypical black voice and very derogatory image. And even on TV back in during the 70s and 80s, most of the black mothers on television played into that mammy stereotype. Like Florida Evans, and not to say that Florida was coonish, but the overweight black woman being the non-threatening black woman. You had Florida Evans, you had Louise Jefferson, the overweight black woman. There was a show called That's My Mama with an overweight black woman. There was the TV show What's Happening. They had Roger's mom who was overweight. Then they had Shirley Hemphill who was overweight. Then you had a show in the early 80s called Give Me a Break with Nell Carter who was overweight. So that overweight mammy theme was just prevalent over and over and over again. The person who kind of broke that temporarily was Claire Huxtable on the Cosby Show. Claire Huxtable broke that mold. Well, the whole Cosby Show broke the mold of what a black family was supposed to look like on television. That's why that show was so groundbreaking. White folks were like, black people live like this? You mean the mother's not fat and on crack and the dad isn't an alcoholic? The dad is there? The kids are well-rounded? Oh my God. They're not living in the ghetto? I mean, that was a shock to white folks. That's why the Cosby Show was such a phenomenon. A lot of white folks didn't even believe that existed. We knew it existed. A lot of us lived in those Cosby-type families. Now, again, that was only temporary because soon enough, they got back to the old modern mammy image. They brought in their number one mammy, who they thought was going to be their number one mammy, which was Oprah Winfrey. But Oprah, she flipped the game and she got fly on them. But if you notice, even now, almost every black woman that you see on television is the overweight mammy character. Well, she might not be the nurturing character, but she's the overweight. They have overweight black women on television on damn near every channel. You had Oprah, then you had the women on The View. You had Star Jones, overweight black woman. Then they replaced her with another overweight black woman. They got Sherry Shepherd on there. Then they had the Queen Latifah show a while back. Y'all remember a show back in the 90s, I think. It was the 90s or the early 2000s. It was a show called Forgive or Forget with a lady named Mother Love. That was another overweight, sassy mammy. What's funny about that show on Forgive or Forget, the ratings were going down and they wanted to try something new. So they replaced Mother Love with Robin Givens. If you guys remember that. Now this was real quick. This happened very quickly. You guys can research this. And the minute they put Robin Givens on there, the ratings really went down. That's the last thing that white American women want to see on television. An attractive black woman. They don't want to see sexual competition because that's what it is. An attractive black woman on television, that's too threatening. Even in movies, attractive black women are a threat to a certain degree. It's some real deep stuff, people. And other shows today, man, with attractive black women, they still have to insert a fat black woman. There was a show where there's a show on the, I think it's the Bravo Network or the Oxygen Network called The Bad Girls Club. And sometimes on some seasons they have attractive women. But one season they had a couple of cute girls on there and they threw a big fat black girl on there being loud and crazy and sassy. So they find a way to slip in the overweight, sassy, mammy character. Even on this show that's on right now on VH1 called What Chili Want. Chili is a very attractive young lady. But they gave her a fat sidekick who's totally unnecessary. They could have brought somebody else in, but there's a reason why they brought that in. And I'm not trying to shit on that young lady. I mean, she's doing what she does. But there's a reason why they slipped those overweight black women in there. They have to offset any attractive black woman that's there, which usually they're not. And the thing is, these shows, they're not doing this. They're not showing these overweight women just to give props to big women, because that's what they make it seem like. They try to make it seem like, okay, we're going to show that women beauty comes in all shapes and sizes and the standard of beauty. They try to use that excuse, which is bullshit, people. Don't fall for that. They try to say, well, all women are beautiful. We should show love to the bigger women. We should show love to the plus size women. Okay, that would be cool if you showed overweight white women, which you don't. They don't show overweight white women on TV like that. They don't have overweight white women in movies like that. You rarely see overweight white women on television and in movies playing lead roles or hosting a show. You rarely see that. I mean, you had like Ricky Lake and the Carney Wilson show back in the 90s. But for every one of them, which was very rare to have them, you would have a bunch of average size white women on television to offset that. And really now you rarely see overweight white women on television in movies, especially playing lead roles. So now they have a real condescending thing that they're doing in Hollywood now. They're getting overweight black women. Now they're trying to make them into sex symbols. And that's a very condescending thing to do. I just saw this new movie with Queen Latifah. And I love Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah's a badass chick. Queen Latifah's a great actress. Great rapper. Queen Latifah is the business. Let's not get that twisted. Very talented girl. Sing her ass off, rap her ass off, act her ass off. She's a badass chick. And pretty face too. But the thing is, Queen Latifah is not a leading love interest. And in this new movie they have her in, they have her as the leading love interest. They're trying to make her somewhat of a sex symbol and it doesn't look right. The movie was just so far-fetched, you couldn't believe the movie. The movie is called Just Right, with her and they have the rapper Common as her love interest in the movie. And the thing is, I'm looking at the screen and she's literally bigger than Common. And I'm like, okay, this don't look right. What is this? And on a side note, the whole premise of that movie is on some other shit, because rich black men don't marry no overweight women. They kind of have that old stereotype that black men love big women thing. and I've said this a billion times. Go back and listen to some of my archive shows, and I still stick by this. Black men do not like overweight women. Broke men like overweight women. I've been saying that since 2006 on this show. And I've asked people repeatedly to show me one example of a millionaire black man who marries an overweight woman, no matter what she is, black, white, whatever. Rich black men do not marry or really get with on a real level overweight women. And in this movie, that's what happened. Common's supposed to be a millionaire basketball player, and he just turned his back on all the dimes to get with big, thick-ass Queen Latifah. Yeah, all right. I believe that one. But I digress. But the point is, trying to make her into a sex symbol, that doesn't look right. And that's white Hollywood saying, okay, well, black people, that's your standard of beauty right there. That's not our standard of beauty, but that's your standard of beauty because your standards are lower than ours. That's what they're saying because they wouldn't show that in a million years. There are no movies showing overweight white women getting with a dashing millionaire man. Because whites wouldn't accept that. And we shouldn't accept it either. And what's really messed up, what they've done now, they've gotten this young lady, Gabby Sidibe, the one who played Precious, and white folks struck gold with her. That's the top mammy of 2010. I mean, she encompasses all of the mammy image. She's non-threatening, physically unappealing. And white people are having a ball with this lady. I mean, why do you think that Hollywood is getting Gabby Sidibe and putting her on such a pedestal? They're really putting this woman on a pedestal. Why are they doing this? They're showing pictures of her being seductive and they're trying to make this woman into a sex symbol. And it's really, really condescending because remember back in the 30s and 40s, they can just straight out make you a buffoon. They can make you act stupid and retarded and there was no backlash. Now you can't really come out and be too coonish because you will get a backlash. There will be a lot of backlash and it will be obvious that you're doing this. So they kind of have to flip the script and make it seem like they're giving you a compliment. They're showing a new side of beauty. That's the hustle now. They're experimenting with the standards of beauty, which is bullshit. They're not experimenting with white folks. They're experimenting with us, so to speak. They're clowning us when they do that. Showing Gabby Sidibe as a sex symbol is clowning the shit out of black folks, black women in particular. Do you guys understand that? I really want black folks to feel this. They're showing Gabby Sidibe doing all these seductive poses and she's looking off into the camera gently and laying on that. It's gross. It's freaking gross. And they had her in People magazine as one of the top most beautiful people of 2010. Give me a break. That's a backhanded diss. It's a backhanded compliment and it's a backhanded diss. Well, it's a blatant diss. They know exactly what they're doing. Now, what's so beautiful about this woman? I mean, it's not the physical. What's so beautiful about it? It's not the inside because people who encounter Gabby Sidibe says her attitude is real fucked up. There are several reports coming out saying that this woman is a straight up bitch when you meet her out in person. And I've seen clips of her on TMZ. Somebody will say, hey, Gabby, you look beautiful. She'll say, oh, yeah, I know. And the reason, and I kind of feel bad for her because she doesn't know how to handle those type of compliments. I don't know if she's in on it. I don't know if she knows that they're full of shit. The thing is, she knows what she looks like. And this woman has known what she looked like for years. And now you have people overnight telling her how fly she is and they're treating her like she's real fly. So psychologically, she doesn't know how to handle it. Psychologically, she's sabotaging herself. Subconsciously, she's going to sabotage herself because she knows deep down that it's not true. So this is why she's saying all these crazy things and acting extra arrogant about these compliments, because that's self-sabotage. And I'm not saying this to shit on this woman. More power to her, God bless her. I just don't like the way that Hollywood has put this woman on a pedestal as a thing to be mocked. They're mocking her. They're putting her on display like King Kong. Like, hey, look at the beautiful monster. That's how they're doing, people. That's exactly what they're doing. They have her on display like King fucking Kong. Think about it. Why are they really giving this woman those kind of props? It's that mammy thing. Her acting isn't all that. The movie Precious, basically she played herself. When I first saw the previews of Precious, I thought it was a documentary. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm dissing this girl, but she played herself in a movie. All she had to do was grunt and moan and make overweight sounds and just be overweight. That's not no spectacular acting feat. And recently, Gabby was on Saturday Night Live and her performance was very subpar. It was a critical failure. She was messing up her lines. The acting was dry and stiff. Her acting is subpar. So why are they giving this woman, whose acting is subpar, whose attitude is kind of stank, whose physical appearance is not fly, why are they giving her so much props? She's getting props because it's the kind of image that makes white America feel comfortable. And because we live in this racially polarized country right now, like I said at the beginning of the show, a lot of whites in this country need more inferior images to reinforce the myth of white supremacy. That's what it all boils down to. You feel what I'm saying, people? That's why you guys need to go check out my pay-per-view special I did called The Myth of White Supremacy. You guys really, really need to soak up that part of the game. You get that at maclessons.com. And also, guys, you got to come see me when I come to your spot, man. You guys got to come see me in New York July 10th because I'm going to be dropping some heavy, deep game. Black women, you need to come on down there to chop up game. Brothers, black men, bring your sons, bring your nephews. All my white folks, y'all need to come on out because I got some very good game for you. Everybody needs to come on and soak up that game because right now, man, this is game time. Damn all the bullshit. Everybody needs to step that game up right now because shit is getting serious out here, man. And I'm entertaining, but I'm going to be educational at the same time. And we really need to step it up. So I'll see all you guys on July 10th, and I'll see you guys next week. Go to maclessonsradio.com and maclessons.com to get your tickets. I'ma holla. Peace.